Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Coming up in a little bit, even though here in New Orleans, we went to Phase 3.2 this past Saturday, even though that's completely ridiculous because the other 63 out of the 64 parishes here in the great state of Louisiana have already gone to phase 3 when it comes to reopening the economy. We're not quite ready for phase 3, so we went over phase 3. We went to phase 3.2, which doesn't make any sense because we haven't fully gone to phase 3 yet, but we've gone to phase 3.2. Our mayor, Letaxa Cantrell, has created sub-phases underneath phases, inside of phases. You would think we would have to go to phase 3 before we went to phase 3 point anything. We're not ready for phase 3 yet, but we were ready for phase 3.2. She made up sub-phases inside of phases. Well, anyways, the reason I brought all of this up is because there were big crowds seen on Bourbon Street this past Saturday night, and the city of New Orleans was not happy about it. Evidently, there were big crowds, and a lot of people weren't wearing masks. And so the city on Sunday morning said that they weren't happy about what happened on Saturday night with bigger crowds of people not all wearing masks on Bourbon Street. And we're going to talk about it later in the show this morning, because they said we might have to go back to whatever was less than phase 3.2. I guess that would be phase 2.
Would it be phase 3.1?
No, because Coleman, we haven't fully gotten to phase 3 yet. Every other parish that we have 64 parishes in this state.
Yeah.
63 out of the 64 parishes were already in phase 3 a couple of weeks ago. We weren't ready to go to phase 3 in Orleans Parish yet, here in New Orleans. So she said, since we're not ready to go, and the mayor I'm talking about,
mm-hmm.
She said, since we're not ready to go to phase 3 yet, we'll have to go to phase 3.2.
Wait, but didn't we go to phase 3.1 before we went to 3.2, or she went straight to 2 to 3.2?
No, because every other, Coleman, when it comes to recovery, restarting the economy.
Right.
Every other parish went to phase 3.
Yeah.
We were still stuck in phase 2 here in New Orleans.
Right.
So instead of going to phase 3, she said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to go to phase I thought it was phase 3.2, but it started at phase 3.1?
Yeah, it started at phase 3.1, then she went to 3.2. So if we were
even though we're not ready to go to phase 3 yet.
It's I'm looped up too. I'm not sure how the math works. But if we're going backwards, are we going backwards to back to 3.1 or are we going back to 2.9? Like I'm not sure what's going to happen now that everybody was actually enjoying themselves on Bourbon Street. Like when she says we have to go back, like are we going back to phase 3.5? Like at this point, I don't know what the numbers even mean. Like what are we doing?
See, I was never that good in math.
Right.
That's why I got into radio in the first place. But all I remember was the day when every other parish, all 63 of them here in Louisiana, went to phase 3, but we didn't. We weren't ready to go to phase 3. She said, well, when we are ready to go to phase 3, we'll go to phase 3.1 because we're not completely ready to go to phase 3 yet.
Yeah. And that kind of is weird because you think you start off at 3.0. If you're not ready for 3.0, how did you go to 3.1?
That's what happened here in New Orleans. We weren't ready to go to phase 3, but she said, you know what? We're going to create sub-phases underneath the phase, and we'll go to 3.1, and then we'll go to 3.2, and then maybe someday we'll be ready to join the other 63 parishes here in Louisiana that are already at phase 3.
By going backwards to phase 3.
It doesn't make any sense. This past Saturday night, when we started phase 3 point, whatever the hell point in phase 3 we're in, we'll start that on Saturday, and then Saturday night came, and I guess there were some big crowds around Bourbon Street, and I guess some people called the COVID task force here in New Orleans, which we have. She's got some sort of COVID-19 task force.
Right, a mass task force.
That will go around the city if they hear there are big crowds and many people aren't wearing masks.
Which is amazing when you consider that we're so many cops short and a lot of people are getting furloughed and people are quitting, but we still have enough resources to have a mass task force. You think we have a carjacking task force or maybe a bullet wound task force, but we have a mass task force.
We've been hundreds of cops short of a full police force here in the city of New Orleans for years. I mean, this is going back to our last mayor, Mitch Half Moon Landrieu. Hundreds of cops short on the New Orleans Police Department. So we're already hundreds of cops short. And you're right. It's incredible. People get shot pretty much on a daily basis here in the city of New Orleans. There are people shooting people. We know that our roads and our streets are in horrible shape. The infrastructure, I mean, the potholes, the sidewalks are falling apart. We have so many potholes in the streets of New Orleans. Yet she's enough people to have a COVID-19 task force to go around to see who's breaking the rules when it comes to coronavirus.
Yeah, who's not complying? That's a word. She wants people to comply. You have to comply.
And there's evidently, Coleman, enough people living in the city of New Orleans where they're calling the COVID hotline to say, hey, there are people who aren't wearing masks. Hey, there are too many people that are congregating over here. Hey, there is this, there is that.
See, those people who want to like dry snitch and say, hey, there's too many people in one place, they should be the ones that should self-isolate if they're that afraid. Let everyone else enjoy phase 3 point wherever we at. And if you have any reservations about going out,
stay home.
Yeah, you stay your ass home. Don't snitch on everybody else. God damn.
Well, that's what happened over the weekend, this past weekend on Saturday night. And who knows, we may be going back to 3.1 or when we haven't even really gone to 3.0 yet. It should be 2 point something, all of these point somethings in the phases, these sub-phases underneath the phases. I'm so confused.
Yeah.
We'll try to break it down for you more coming up on the show. But all I know is the city of New Orleans wasn't happy with what happened on Saturday night, because around Bourbon Street, there were big crowds and maybe not everyone was wearing a mask. And she says we may be going back now.
Well, let's just say they were protests. They were peaceful protests.
Call them that.
Yeah.
Here on Bayou 95.7. New Orleans' only classic rock station.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Are you familiar with that astrophysicist, Neil deGrasse Tyson? Real smart guy. And he said that an asteroid could strike the Earth on the day before the presidential election. Now, I've heard of rocking the vote before.
Hey, that was good.
An asteroid with a diameter the size of a refrigerator could strike the Earth the day before the United States presidential election. That's coming up. And that's according to scientist Neil deGrasse Tyson. But he says he doesn't think the refrigerator-sized asteroid would be large enough to do any serious damage. Well, when I was a kid, asteroids were my favorite. Do you know how many quarters I put into asteroids machines when I was a kid?
Quarters or tokens or both.
Mm.
So what do we do? Do we send Steven Tyler up there to try to get this refrigerator-sized asteroid to save the planet?
Why would we send Steven Tyler up there?
Oh, it's an Armageddon reference. You know, I don't want to miss a thing. Classic rock station, the movie, Bruce Willis.
Oh,
Steven
okay.
Tyler did the soundtrack. And
it's early on Monday morning, Coleman. I think you went over my head with that one there. Look, all I know is that this guy, Neil deGrasse Tyson, is extremely smart. And he says that an asteroid the size of a refrigerator could very well hit planet Earth the day before the United States presidential election.
Did he say where?
So what was that, 2 weeks from today?
Yeah.
Is that 2 weeks from, the election's 2 weeks from tomorrow? I got to be honest with you. I can't wait till the election's over.
You can't?
It's really starting to give me a migraine.
The election or the stuff surrounding the election as far as like debates and campaigns and Facebook fighting?
All of that stuff.
You think it's going to be any better after the election?
It always is.
Okay, maybe for the first few days.
Yeah, people scream for a little while after the election, and then things should hopefully get back to, well, I don't know what the hell normal is anymore. But he says that this space rock, that's what an asteroid is,
mm-hmm.
the size of a refrigerator, is hurling towards Earth at a speed of 25,000 miles per hour. And it looks like it's going to clip planet Earth on November 2nd.
So it's going to be like a stone skip. It's going to be like when you throw a stone against a lake or a pond and it kind of like skips a little bit, maybe disintegrates over the ozone or something like that. Because I know that we have this atmosphere and like it kind of burns through, like meteors burn through the atmosphere. So if it's the size of a refrigerator, it's either going to skip off the ozone or it's going to burn through, and by the time it gets through the ozone, it'll be the size of a pebble because it'll burn away.
Those are good questions, Coleman. I wish I knew. I wish I could tell you.
I wish we could do like an office pool to figure out where the refrigerator size meteor is going to land at, or the asteroid. Like, is it going to be in Washington? Is it going to be in the Gulf of Mexico? Is it going to be in Nevada? That'll be a good game to play. Got to figure out where it's going to hit and strike.
Yeah, well, the scientist Neil deGrasse Tyson says this won't be large enough to do any serious damage, but what if it lands on your house? I mean, you're right. I mean, it could land in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean.
Mm-hmm.
It could land on someone's roof.
It could land on someone's car, and I could use the insurance money. Last time they had a hailstorm and I got some hailstorm damage, you know, Progressive cut me a nice little check. So if the asteroid has any favoritism, I'd like it to hit the top of my car so I could get some insurance money. I think I have asteroid insurance somewhere.
Do you think the insurance company would believe you if you called up and said, look, I need to make a claim. An asteroid just hit my car. You know what the odds of that are? Now, look, insurance companies, Coleman, they hear a lot of BS. I mean, every day,
yeah.
Day in and day out. Can you imagine working for an auto insurance company and the phone calls you get and the excuses you get onto why you need money from that insurance company? I bet you they've never heard that one before. I bet you they've never heard, my car just got hit by an asteroid.
They may have. I remember it was maybe 5-6 years ago, a small pebble went through somebody's roof. It was an asteroid, but I don't know if they, you know, if the roof damage was covered by the insurance, but I sure would have tried, and then I would have verified it. I'd have got Neil deGrasse Tyson to come over and verify the elements and, you know, verify that it is a real space rock, so I need this insurance money to fix my roof, and then some.
Well, even though the scientist, Neil deGrasse Tyson, said that, NASA had previously identified the asteroid rocketing towards Earth, the one that Tyson's talking about. But NASA says its chances of actually striking the Earth are less than 1%. 0.41%.
So they're saying there's a chance.
There's a 0.41% chance. That's what it currently has of entering our planet's atmosphere. But if it did, it would disintegrate due to its extremely small size.
That's what I thought.
According to NASA.
Yeah, I thought it would disintegrate through the atmosphere. That's what I kind of figured. In order for an asteroid to get through the atmosphere, like the asteroid would probably have to be the size of like a tank or a truck. And by the time it gets through, it'll be the size of a pebble.
Well, anyways. So I guess NASA is disagreeing a little bit with the very smart scientist, Neil deGrasse Tyson. I just thought that was news. Anytime someone is talking about an asteroid hitting planet Earth,
mm-hmm.
A, it's big news, but B, it brings back such great memories from when I was a kid playing that game. That was so much fun.
Were you any good at it, or you just like to play?
I was okay.
It was okay.
You know, I mean, kids today, sure, the video games, the technology is so much better, but there's something to be said about a simpler time.
Yeah.
When you could just fire quarters into a machine and play asteroids.
Yep.
Yeah. Hmm. So, all right. So, I guess that's good news. It's news, but we're really not going to have to worry about it. The asteroids. Coming up on the show. On Saturday night here in New Orleans, once we entered phase 3.2 in the reopening of the economy here in the city of New Orleans, I guess too many people showed up around Bourbon Street not wearing masks. The city of New Orleans, the mayor, not happy about it. We'll explain coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. That's one of the Van Halen songs that's selling like crazy right now. There are a bunch of Van Halen songs in the wake of Eddie Van Halen dying that are just selling. I know last week, if you looked at iTunes, out of the top 20, 10 of them were Van Halen songs. And they always say nothing sells like a dead rock star, but they're saying that Eddie Van Halen's death may help save rock and roll, at least for a little while, because a bunch of Van Halen songs were trying to knock off that WAP song.
The WAP song?
The WAP song from Cardi B.
Okay.
That's wet ass
bleep. Yeah,
so maybe Eddie Van Halen dying, at least for a little while, could save rock and roll.
Didn't Dreams by Fleetwood Mac become number one at some point? Didn't that beat the WAP? Because that guy did the Ocean Spray skateboard video on TikTok. And
that he made a video that went viral, and then everybody started doing it. Yeah, that was up there too. So that Fleetwood Mac song, Dreams, and then 10 or 12 Van Halen songs.
And then somewhere in between, there's some wet ass.
And then WAP was in
somewhere,
there.
Yeah.
Was in there too. Isn't that something how that works? Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. Did you see what happened to the owner of the New Orleans Saints and the New Orleans Pelicans? And she owns a lot of other things too. Gail Benson. Did you see what happened to her the other day? She was in the back seat of a very nice ride, and her driver pulled in to a spot right near Tulane University and going into the store. And so her driver gets out of the car and goes into wherever he was going into, and she was sitting in the back seat of the car.
Okay.
Outside the store where the driver just went into. Well, a carjacker hopped into the car and was gonna steal the car and drive away. But Gail Benson was in the back seat and she screamed, "Ah! Get out of this car! You get out of this car!" And wouldn't you know, the carjacker listened. And lucky for all of us that he didn't decide to steal that car, to jack that car with Gail Benson in the back seat. She almost got stolen with her car.
It wouldn't have ended well for the carjacker either way. If he'd have took the car and got away with Gail Benson, I'm quite sure Gail Benson has the resources for these people to find that dude.
New Orleans Saints and Pelicans owner Gail Benson was sitting in her parked car uptown last weekend when a man barged in and apparently tried to steal the vehicle. Police and team officials confirmed this past Friday. The man abandoned his plan when Gail Benson screamed for him to get out! Get out of my car! Investigators are now searching for the suspect. Could you imagine if the owner of the Saints and Pelicans got carjacked and she was in the car that got carjacked? She got carjacked with her car?
Could he imagine? You know what kind of money Gail Benson has? She could make a phone call and have that guy disappeared without using the police or the FBI. She has that kind of money. So luckily, this guy did come out the car, because I would feel bad for him. Because when you got Gail Benson money, you got Gail Benson connections. And I know she's a Catholic archdiocese, you know, good, well woman. But when you got that kind of money, one phone call can, and that can ruin that dude's life.
It happened on South Claiborne Avenue, the 6200 block, not far from the two-lane football and baseball stadium up there.
Someone that the driver like did a Spears, like, Spears, go fetch this, and he had to go run in the store and let the car run in and everything. I'm just going to run in and grab a pack of smokes or whatnot, and that's how that happened. Or
she's got to be careful, though, and the driver's got to be careful. I mean, you're driving around the not only the richest person in the state of Louisiana, Gail Benson, but if your job is to drive her around, obviously your job is to get her wherever you're driving her to safely. So it leads me to believe he's driving her. She's in the back seat. The driver, wherever, the 6200 block of South Claiborne Avenue, it was a little strip mall there, pulls into the parking lot. Pulls into the parking space, says, I got to run into the store. I'll be right back. And did not lock her in the car. Evidently, he left the driver's door open because that's where the carjacker hopped in the car. And then she screamed. And I guess the carjacker isn't used to jacking cars with people in them. Usually carjackers, they'll car thieves, if they're stealing a car, they're not used to having someone in the back seat.
I wonder if it happened across, like, upon the car, like he just happened to pull up at the right place at the right time, or they were scoping the car out, like following them to see where they was gonna park at, and then made the move.
Good questions.
Yeah, because there've been a lot of car thefts here in the city, dude. I think it's a ring going on. It's more intricate than we think.
The Saints released a statement as an organization. While she was very shaken at the time, she was unharmed and is doing fine. That's what a longtime Saints and Pelicans spokesman, Greg Bensel, said. So she's doing all right. That would freak me out a bit if I was sitting in the back seat of a car.
Mm-hmm.
And a car thief jumped in the driver's side, the front seat, while I'm sitting in the back seat. Wouldn't that have been something if he stole the car with her in it?
Would you have fired the driver when he got back to the car?
Maybe that driver's already been fired. I mean, how does that happen? You're driving around the richest person in the state of Louisiana. In the city where she owns the NFL team and the NBA team, you're driving her around, and you're in New Orleans. One of the things New Orleans is known for is crime. One of the things New Orleans is known for is cars getting stolen. And I'm sure they were driving around in a really, really, really expensive sweet ride.
With tinted windows, probably.
You know, she's not going to be driven around in the back of a Ford Taurus. No, nothing again. That's a fine ride too. But how do you get out of the car, leave her in the back seat, unlocked?
It's a dereliction of duties. I wonder how the carjacker feels now. I wonder if when the woman screamed, did he recognize it was Gail Benson, or did he find out later on in the news, like, whoa, that was Gail Benson in the back of that ride? And then once you find out it's Gail Benson, let's say he didn't know who it was, and he just heard a woman scream and left. And then later, like, he reads the news story, or he sees it on the news, that was Gail Benson in the back of the car. I wonder if he's counting his blessings, like, whoo, I dodged a bullet, or he's like, oh, man, I should have pulled off. If I'd have known that was Gail Benson, I would have pulled off. Like, I wonder how he feels. Like, he has to know now that was Gail Benson.
Coleman, you're trying to put yourself into the mind of a car thief or a carjacker.
Yeah.
You know, most car thieves aren't used to having people in the car when they steal them.
Right.
Carjacking, we talked about that last week. Carjacking became big, what, about 20 years ago, maybe 25 years ago, 30 years ago, maybe, when I never heard of anything like that before. Usually when a car thief was going to steal a car, he would go find a car where no one was in it, break into it, and steal it. And then all of a sudden, carjacking became a big thing about 20, 25 years ago. And all of a sudden, some of these car thieves are thinking, why do we have to break into a car? Why do we have to hotwire a car? Why can't we just walk up to a car where someone's sitting at a light, pull a gun out, and say, get out of the car? And now the thing, we got the keys, we got everything. We don't have to break into anything.
Right. But that's what happened. It got too hard to hotwire a car, so they had to get the car jacking with the keys.
Well, I'm glad Gail Benson is okay, and I bet you whoever her driver is, if he still has that job, that'll never happen again. When you're driving around the richest person in the state of Louisiana, in the city of New Orleans, I don't care if you're leaving the car for 5 seconds or an hour and a half. Always lock the car, especially if she's in it. Can't have her stolen with the car. All right, coming up next on the show, the city of New Orleans not happy about what they saw Saturday night on the night that the city advanced to phase 3.2 in the reopening of the city. They weren't happy with what they saw. We're going to tell you about that coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. And here in the city of New Orleans, this past Saturday, 2 days ago, we moved into phase 3.2 when it comes to reopening the economy. And look, we've talked about this, the fact that we're the only parish out of all the 64 parishes in Louisiana. Orleans Parish is the only parish that did not advance to phase 3 of reopening the economy when the other 63 parishes did go to phase 3 a few weeks ago. So even though we haven't gone to phase 3 fully yet, and the only parish in the state of Louisiana not to advance to phase 3 a few weeks ago, we are now in phase 3.2. How do you get to 3.2 when we fully haven't gotten to phase 3 yet? This is our mayor, our tax cheat of a mayor, Letaxa Cantrell. Again, the only one out of the 64 parishes. We're the only one who stayed back in phase 2 when the rest of the, every other parish in Louisiana went to phase 3. So now all of a sudden, we're in 3.0. We were in 3.1. And now, as of this past Saturday, we went to 3.2. In my opinion, if we haven't fully gone to phase 3 yet, shouldn't this be 2.1 and 2.2?
This texter says it should have been phase 2, then 2.25, then 2.5, then 2.75, then 3. But that's why she can't do her taxes.
Thank you, texter. Thank you very much. Well, anyways, this past Saturday, we moved to phase 3.2. And the biggest deal of the 3.2 was that bars can actually serve people who are sitting outside at their establishments. People still can't go into bars yet, sit at a bar and drink. But if the bar here in New Orleans happens to have a patio or any type of outdoor seating situation, they were allowed to open those up to serve people. And when it came to live music, they said, yeah, we could have live music in venues, but no singing and no wind-blown instruments.
It's crazy.
I mean, and karaoke bars still not allowed to open because you're not allowed to do karaoke because that's singing, even though it's some of that singing isn't that great. But that happened this past Saturday. So all of a sudden, this past Saturday, 2 days ago, the city of New Orleans went into a made-up, a sub-phase of a phase that we haven't even gotten to yet. Sub-phase 3.2. Well, Saturday, the French Quarter was more crowded than it has been in a long time because we are in 3.2 in the phasing now. But Saturday night, there were lots of crowds around Bourbon Street.
Right.
On Bourbon Street.
Right.
And evidently, the crowds were so big and perhaps not everybody in the crowds was wearing a mask. And so some people decided to call the city of New Orleans to report this activity. And the city of New Orleans is not happy about it. The city of New Orleans is promising to investigate reports of large gatherings after the French Quarter saw crowds of people Saturday night in the first test of the city's coronavirus prevention measures under phase 3.2. So some people ratted out the crowds on Bourbon Street. Some people called the city of New Orleans, and the next day, yesterday, on Sunday, the city of New Orleans sent out a series of tweets.
Ooh.
And they were saying that they have been made aware of the crowds gathering in the French Quarter, and they're not happy about it. Officials said a city task force and the New Orleans Police Department, some of their officers, enforced the 11 p.m. curfew for ordering drinks. I mean, even though we're in phase 3.2, still, once 11 o'clock comes, that's it. No more. You can't order drinks anymore because evidently you have a better chance of catching coronavirus after 11 p.m. than you do before 11 p.m. City officials tweeted, this is one of their tweets. As we moved into phase 3.2, our businesses and our people have been complying for the most part. Hashtag thank you. However, as we continue to get reports of bad actors, our enforcement task force will investigate. Isn't that something? How the city, they have a COVID-19 enforcement task force in a city where people get shot every day, in a city where the streets that are filled with potholes, the sidewalks are falling apart, yet they have a task force to go bust businesses who aren't in compliance with their coronavirus COVID-19 rules.
There are so many things that doesn't make sense about this whole entire scenario. One, when you announced that you was going to phase 3.2, what did you psychologically think was going to happen? So many people have been repressed. They can't wait to get out. Could you imagine once we actually get to phase four, what the streets are going to be like, people can actually go out and do stuff, it's going to be a madhouse. It's going to be like Black Friday used to be. That's what, when they say we are now going to phase four, that weekend is going to be, it's going to be ridiculous. So, yeah, that is going to happen. So I would say let the people get their phase two, get it out their system, you know, get out that pent-up aggression and pent-up fun out their system. Two, the people that are calling and snitching, why are you out there anyway? Like, you have to be on Bourbon Street to see what was going on Bourbon Street, to snitch on the people on Bourbon Street, right? So let's say they were out on Bourbon Street, but the only reason they were snitching is because where a lot of people aren't wearing masks. That's because they can't sit and drink at bars, so they have to walk around with their drinks. You can't drink with a mask on because they got to-go cups and stuff. So, yeah, it would make sense that they're not having a mask on if they have a drink in their hand because they would constantly have to take the mask off, take the sip, and put it back on. So if they can't drink at the bar or they have to sit in the outside patio if they have to have to-go cups, then, yeah, they're not going to wear their mask while they're drinking. So we have to use common sense. But here's what I want to know. Now that there were crowds on Bourbon Street, now that we are in 3.2 and more people are, you know, being local and not following the quote-unquote guidelines, did the coronavirus deaths go up?
Well, we won't know for a couple of more weeks, Coleman. But the city officials also said in a statement, quote, our people have put in the work, which has allowed us to erase restrictions. But actions that lead to super spreader events will not be condoned. We cannot go back. That's what the city of New Orleans said. They don't want to go back to, if we went back, would we be going back to 3.1? But we can't be going back to 3.0 because we never officially got to 3.0.
Redbird says, yep, Mama LaToya is shaking a finger at y'all, and if y'all don't behave, we're going to drop the city back to phase 3.1.5.
So now the sub-phases will have sub-phases.
Right.
That's again, funny. We're the only parish in Louisiana that has a point anything.
And it was the point of the point. This, oh, my goodness.
And, I mean, what's next? Is 3.3 next and then 3.4 and then 3.5 when we fully haven't gotten into phase three yet? Because you said whenever we're going to have to look out. Look out whenever we get into phase four.
Yeah, for that first day.
How long is it going to be until we get into phase four with all of these points?
But here's the deal. Like, all right, the first weekend, they should let people get a bye because you know you're going to act up as soon as the gates open. It's like the madhouse. It's a mad dash. So let everyone get it out their system. Let's stay in 3.2 or wherever we're at. And then the next week, it won't be so bad. Let everybody get all of it out their system. Let them get their drink on. Let them get their quote-unquote socializing and partying on. Then we can chill after that. Same thing with phase four. If we ever go to phase four, it's going to be a mad dash. It's going to be crowds. People are going to come out their shells, you know? But then after, you know, you get used to it, everything's going to calm back down. So we have to give them, I say we give them a bye week this weekend and just let them get away with it. Keep the task force at bay. Let them chill out. Don't do the investigation. Just say, you know what? We'll give them that one because they've been pent up for so long that they need to get it out their system.
You know, at this point, and I've said this, we said this last week. We said it a few weeks ago. At this point, since they make everybody wear a mask to go in any public place here in New Orleans, anywhere you go, in any building, they say it's the law, you have to wear a mask.
Right.
So if we all have to wear masks anyways, why don't we just open everything up? Just open up the restaurants and the bars and the businesses. People have to wear masks anyways. Open them up.
John, you're mask debating again. Calm down.
Yeah, this mask debate is something else. Well, anyways, just know that the city of New Orleans, again, even though we live in a city where people get shot every day, where there's lots of crime, the streets are third world-like, but they've got the COVID-19 task force running around. And isn't that something, how they don't miss a beat?
Right.
Yet try finding a street to drive down in New Orleans that doesn't have a pothole. This is something else. So, well, I guess as of right now, we're still in phase 3.2, but the city is looking out for the bad actors, and they're coming after people who aren't complying.
Gotta comply.
Yeah. That's the latest on that. Hey, coming up, we've got another update on a story we've been talking about. The Jefferson Parish Public School System and the leaders of the Jefferson Parish Public Schools, they're pushing back against the fourth grader who we've been talking about on the West Bank, who got suspended for 6 days because while he was virtually learning in his home, there was a BB gun that was seen in his bedroom, and so they suspended him. Well, Jefferson Parish, the school leaders, are pushing back against all of the backlash against them for what they did to that fourth grader. Wait till you hear what they have to say coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Aerosmith there. And when Eddie Van Halen died a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about on this show, who's the greatest American rock band? Many people think Aerosmith or Van Halen. We talked about it on the show, and I know personal feelings mean a lot, and people have different tastes, but both of those bands are in the conversation. The Eagles are in the conversation. The Beach Boys are in that conversation. Metallica is in the conversation. And you could say, well, what makes the greatest American rock and roll band? Well, they had to sell a lot of records. And they have to kick ass. But it's a very good discussion to have. This band right here is in the discussion as well. Throw it out, Chili Peppers on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show. How far would you go to save some money? We've seen different examples of people that will do lots of crazy things. What other people would call crazy, just to save a few bucks. Have you ever seen those extreme couponing shows on television and how people will spend so much time cutting coupons? But it saves them lots of money. So in their minds, the time invested in couponing pays off when they get to the cash register and they save all of that money. But I mean, think about what some people will do to save some money. Because I'm about to tell you something that somebody did that I can guarantee you most people wouldn't even think of, okay. would never do. But think about it, Coleman. Look what people do to save a few bucks.
I've heard some horror stories. Well, I'm not going to say horror stories. I heard some interesting stories. One guy, he would buy double-ply toilet paper and then separate the plies to make two rolls of toilet paper. I know one woman.
Wow.
I know one woman, whenever she would leave her house, she would literally unplug every electronic item other than her fish tank because she wanted to keep her fish alive. But she would unplug.
To save on the electric bill.
Like everything, refrigerator, whatever. If it was in a plug, she would unplug it and just leave the fish tank running and would leave. Like, I've seen stories like that.
Hang on, go back to that guy you were telling me about, the ply guy.
Yeah, he would buy.
Go back to the ply guy.
He would buy double ply toilet paper, then sit there and actually unroll the toilet paper and make two plies into one ply toilet paper, so you have two rolls of toilet paper.
Wow. See, I don't mess with my plies. I need extra plies there. But yeah, those are the types of things I'm talking about. What some people do to save a few bucks. Well, are you ready to hear this story? Plane passenger caught smuggling 2 pounds of gold nuggets in rectum to avoid paying taxes. You just heard me right. And this happened at an airport in India. Indian airport authorities literally struck gold when they spotted a man walking oddly. He was walking through the airport, but he was walking really funny.
I would assume so. Oh.
So when they walked up to him and they said, why are you walking so funny? Is it some sort of injury? Well, no, they discovered he had 2 pounds of gold bullion nuggets shoved into his rectum. And the reason he did that is he didn't want to pay taxes on that gold. He was on an airline called Go Air. And he arrived in India from Dubai. He ended up at Kerala Kannur Airport. And he didn't want to pay 18% tax.
God damn. 18%?
That's what he would have to pay on the gold.
See, at first I was kind of like, man, this dude's crazy, but 18%, I don't know, John, 2 pounds? I'm thinking
now
about
all
it.
Of a sudden you've got room in your rectum?
Yeah, I'm not, 18%.
Now to save 18% in taxes, all of a sudden your rectum is opening? You have room in your rectum, Coleman, that's what you're telling me.
I'm just saying I would consider 18% is a consideration.
Yeah, well, that's why he stuck 2 pounds. The gold nuggets, bullion, up his rectum to avoid paying an 18% tax on those precious nuggets.
But isn't that kind of like profiling when you're looking at somebody that's walking funny? Like, isn't that something like, maybe he had a leg injury, maybe he was constipated. He could have thought of anything, but they just saw him walking funny and they automatically got suspicious. Shouldn't that be a form of like profiling, or does things work different in India? Like, they're like, this guy's walking funny, something's up with this guy. Let's go stop him.
Yeah, something's up somewhere with this guy. Well, you do the math, Coleman. Okay, so he's got 2 pounds of gold nuggets.
Oh,
that's 2 pounds. They said that's about $60,000. So if he had to pay 18% tax on $60,000, that's a lot of money.
$1 million.
Not quite that much. So he decided, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to take these 2 pounds of gold nuggets, 2 pounds in bullion, and I'm going to stick it where the sun don't.
His gluteus maximus muscles must be on point to hold 2 pounds. 2 pounds. That's heavy. That is heavy. When you're trying to grasp it with your cheeks. Oh, no. But, hey.
You could text us. I mean, is this something? Look, the guy, I mean, what would you do? How far would you go to save money? That's why we've all seen different people do different kind of stuff to save money. Is this the craziest thing you've ever heard? Well, I gotta save money, so I'm going to stick 2 pounds of gold up my backside.
That is up there. The most I've done was eat ramen noodles for a month to save a few bucks. But no, I wouldn't.
But at least those are good. Yeah. You wouldn't be walking around airports funny because you ate too many ramen noodles. Hey, text us. I mean, how far would you go, and what's the craziest thing that you've ever seen someone do to save a few bucks? I got to put this at the top of the list, sticking 2 pounds of gold nugget bullion up there. Text us at 504-260-9595. Please don't text while you're driving. Keep it short and sweet. And if it's good, we'll read it coming up next on the show here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station.
Calling all pop culture enthusiasts.
Are you obsessed with all things celebrity?
Do you live for the drama, the laughs, and the unexpected moments that unfold on social media?
Then you're going to want to tune in to the Comments by Celebs podcast.
Join us 3 times a week as we deep dive into every aspect of pop culture.
Whether it's dissecting the latest trends or just chatting about your favorite celebs, Comments by Celebs has you covered.
We have new episodes out every week. Follow and listen to Comments by Celebs on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bayou, 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show, and we have an update on a story that we've talked about a few times on our show now. This is about the fifth update in this story. I'm sure if you listen to the show, you remember the story of the fourth grader over on the West Bank who got suspended for 6 days, a fourth grader got suspended for 6 days. Why? Because he was virtually learning at home. He was in his room, and one of the teachers saw a gun in his room. And because guns obviously aren't allowed in the classroom, even though this student was virtually learning at home because of coronavirus, like many others are, that teacher looked at his bedroom as the classroom. You're not allowed to have any guns in the classroom. So they suspended the fourth grader for 6 days. And this is going to be on his record. This kid brought a gun to school. Now, it was only a BB gun. And when we talked about this the first time, I said, this is ridiculous. Now you can have school teachers looking around people's homes to try to bust them while they are virtually teaching students. And we were yelling about this on our show saying, you got to give this kid his, and his name's Kamari Robinson. You got to give this kid, Kamari, you got to give him those 6 days back. And, I'm sorry, Kamari Harrison is his name, the fourth grader. You got to give Kamari his 6 days back. He lost out on 6 days of learning. And you got to get that off of his permanent record. Well, we weren't the only ones saying that. Because right after we talked about it, after the story started going viral, the attorney general in the state of Louisiana, Jeff Landry, along with the NRA, the ACLU. And when do the NRA and the ACLU ever agree on anything? But they all agreed. They said, this is ridiculous. And it got to the point where last week in Baton Rouge, the Louisiana House of Representatives drew up House Bill 83 that was named for the fourth grader, Kamari Harrison. And today, the Senate is going to vote on that to make it a new law saying that teachers can't be doing things like this. Well, we hadn't heard from the Jefferson Parish public school system in the last few weeks since this has been a story. They finally released a statement, and they're not backing down at all. They are upset that this law, or that's on the books right now that they're voting on, could become a law. And so this is what they said. They wrote a letter. Dear Louisiana legislators, these are unprecedented times in education, and we appreciate your efforts to support teachers, administrators, and school boards in fulfilling our mission to educate the children of Louisiana. However, the Jefferson Parish School Board is extremely concerned that legislation aimed at rectifying perceived wrongs in specific cases arising out of a narrow set of facts is advancing through the legislature and will have serious and wide-reaching consequences for Louisiana school districts. They don't want this to become a law.
Right.
And so we haven't heard from them yet saying, we made a mistake here. We shouldn't have suspended this fourth grader for 6 days. We haven't heard anything like that. The only thing, this is the first we're hearing from anybody when it comes to the school system in Louisiana. And actually, the woman who signed this letter to the Louisiana legislature, her name is Tiffany Kuhn. She's the president and school board member, the Jefferson Parish School Board. And there were three others with the Jefferson Parish School Board who also signed this letter as well. So we've got, including the superintendent of Jefferson Parish Schools, Dr. James Gray. So here's the superintendent of Jefferson Parish Schools, along with three other members of the Jefferson Parish School Board, writing a letter to the Louisiana State Legislature saying that this law that they're thinking about passing should not be passed and should not be a law. This is the only thing we've heard from them. They have not yet said they were in the wrong here for what they did with Kamari Harrison, the fourth grader on the West Bank.
They said the legislation was going on some narrow facts or whatnot. And the thing about that is they have the whole thing on Zoom. They can go back and look at what happened with the BB gun and all that. And to be honest, I don't think it's fair that this kid was suspended, because the facts of the matter is it wasn't his BB gun. It was his brother's. His brother brought it into the screen and he dropped it. So Kamari moved it. That's like if I bring a gun to a real classroom and I drop it, and then my brother picks up the gun and then he gets suspended for the gun that I brought to class. You see what I'm saying? So even in that situation, Kamari is completely in the right. However, I did say last week, I don't think a new law should have been made just because of this one particular case. I do think the student needs his 6 days back. I do think this needs to be expunged off of his record, but I don't think they should have made a completely new law just based on this one circumstance.
If you're listening right now, what do you think about this? This is the first we've heard from the Jefferson Parish Public School representatives since this happened. And again, they're not apologizing for what they did to the fourth grader.
Right.
And this is including the superintendent of Jefferson Parish Schools, Dr. James Gray, and three Jefferson Parish School Board members. They wrote a letter to the Louisiana legislature saying they don't want this to become a law.
Right. Just to be clear, though.
The law that was named after this fourth grader after he was done so wrongly by the Jefferson Parish public school system.
To be fair, the school board is pushing back against the law from the legislature. They're not pushing back or admitting guilt or innocence when it comes down to that particular case with the student himself.
No, we haven't heard anything from
him. So they're not pushing back against him personally. They're pushing against the law named after him.
I mean, how much can you screw a fourth grader? That's what this should be called.
And you think they would be happy for this guy? You know, the school board's job is to educate children. This kid got a firsthand education on how to get a law passed. You think he got to take a field trip, basically. And he got a law passed. You think they would be proud of this kid?
They're going to name the law after him.
You would think they would look at him as a beacon of inspiration. Like, man, this kid has something happen to him. He went down the proper channels and got this law passed. He went to the Baton Rouge, to the state capitol, got a field trip. He got to see all this stuff. He got a real hands-on education on how laws can be passed. And now they're like, no, don't pass the law. You think that this is like a first-hand education? You think they would support what's going on?
I didn't think I could be more upset with the Jefferson Parish public school system after what they did to fourth grader Kamari Harrison. But this makes it even worse.
Exactly.
The superintendent, they're saying, please don't pass this law because it'll make our jobs tougher. Wait a minute here. One of your teachers just screwed up.
Right.
And maybe your teacher didn't screw up by saying, well, hey, I see a gun in the kid's bedroom. It's a BB gun. His brother brought it in. But suspended the kid, whoever did that, for 6 days, probably that teacher's boss.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever did that for 6 days, the Jefferson Parish public school system made a big mistake.
Right.
And they are hurting this fourth grader, Kamari Harrison. And the only thing we've heard from them since is this.
Right.
To send a letter? Please don't make this a law?
Right. Not, we apologize. Now we're going to look into the situation. Not, we're going to see what we can do to help this kid out. They're like, no, don't give us more restrictions just because of this one narrow case, because of the narrow facts that could have been misconstrued. Don't do that to us. I mean, the karma right there.
Hey, if you're as frustrated with the Jefferson Parish Public School System over this incident, text us. 260-9595. Isn't this ridiculous? This is all we've heard from them since this? And this story has gotten national attention. They got to give this kid his 6 days back. Somebody's got to teach this kid for 6 days now. And they got to take this off of his record. This can't be following him around through high school. Oh, when he was in fourth grade, he had a gun in class. No, he didn't have a gun in class. His brother brought a BB gun into the bedroom while he was virtually learning. Text us. Keep it short and sweet. Please don't text while you're driving. This is insanity. Or am I wrong? Do you agree with what the Jefferson Parish Public School System did? 260-9595. If it's good, your text, we will read it coming up next on the show here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. We were talking about Kamari Harrison. Again, he's the fourth grader on the West Bank who got suspended because he was virtually learning at home and there was a BB gun in his bedroom and the teacher saw the BB gun, and the Jefferson Parish Public School System suspended this kid, the fourth grader, for 6 days. And people like me were so outraged about this, including the Attorney General, Jeff Landry, of the state of Louisiana, the NRA, the ACLU, and others, that now there's a law that has already been passed by the Louisiana House. And today, the Louisiana Senate is voting on it. It's the Kamari Harrison law. It's saying teachers can't be doing stuff like this. Well, we finally heard from the Jefferson Parish school system, including their superintendent, Dr. James Gray, and three other Jefferson Parish school board members. They wrote a letter to the Louisiana legislature asking them not to pass this law, saying that this law would make their job harder as public school teachers. Really? This is the only time we've heard from them since this whole story broke a few weeks ago, and this is what they're saying? How about we're sorry, we made a mistake, they got to give this kid his 6 days back, and they got to get this off of his permanent record? We asked you to text us if you think that they're wrong for doing this.
This texter says, I wonder why the school board, why they don't want to be treated equally just like they treated the fourth grader, meaning that they expect this fourth grader to suffer the consequences of his actions, so why can't the school board suffer the consequences or the backlash for their actions? Like they said in their letter, this bill is going to make it harder for us to do our job. Well, this thing on this record is going to make it hard for this kid's life.
Yeah, know? Imagine being a black kid on the West Bank, you're going into high school, and now they start looking at you. Wait a minute, what do you mean when you were in fourth grade, you had a gun in the classroom? Huh?
This text says, this is so wrong. The JPSB is afraid that if this bill passes, they're more likely to be sued for more money.
Well, the Jefferson Parish Public School System, they're supposed to help kids, students. They're hurting Kamari Harrison. They're hurting this kid and this student. And why hasn't someone stood up and said, we were wrong? We'll get this kid his 6 days of suspension. We'll teach him those 6 days, and we'll take this off his record.
Well, this texter says it's because the Harris family, I hear, filed a lawsuit against them, which is most likely the reason why they aren't commenting. So that's probably why they're not saying anything.
Well, look, we appreciate your texts. Coming up next on the dumbest thing I read all morning. This guy got caught doing something, and he said he wasn't doing what you think he was doing. Wait till you hear what he says he was doing. It's coming up next here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. It's the John Osterlund Morning Show, and it's about that time where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. Man accused of pleasuring himself in LSU parking lot claims he was playing air drums in his truck.
Ew!
Yeah, so the LSU cops saw this guy in his truck pleasuring himself.
And did they do?
When they arrested him, he said, "Oh, you got it all wrong, pal. I wasn't doing that. I was playing the air drums."
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Did the cops know conclusively that he was pleasuring himself, or was he really playing the air drums? Because the case could be made that when you play the air drums, it does look kind of like...
Well, Coleman, I think in the first sentence of this story, I think you're going to realize the cops weren't wrong.
Okay, here we go.
A man with a history of perverse criminal charges was arrested late last week after he was allegedly seen fondling himself on LSU's campus.
Okay. Well, we have a history.
I got the police report right here. That's what I've got in my hand right now, Coleman. He was, this guy, 72-year-old James Cousins.
You idiot.
He was in his truck in the parking lot outside of Patrick Taylor Hall. That's near the edge of campus. A person walking past said they saw the 72-year-old watching a female student from his truck. The passerby told police it appeared James Cousins was pleasuring himself while he watched the student enter the building. The witness said he couldn't see Mr. Cousins' genitalia, but said he could tell what was happening based on the way he was moving his arm. So, you know, he's
ew,
moving.
Yuck.
So evidently he was just about finished when the cops showed up. And the cops said, "Hey, pal, what are you, pleasuring yourself?" "No, no." "Well, someone just walked by and said your arm was going up and down." "Yes, I was cranking this tune and I was playing the air drums." I mean, pretty quick thinking. But the problem is that he has a history of this, of being arrested for a public pleasure.
I'm not here to shame anybody for what they enjoy and what they don't enjoy. But you would think after having a history of this behavior, something in you would say, maybe I should just chill out and find something else to do. Like, if you're constantly getting caught and there's actually a criminal record, like, no matter how bad you love something, if you're always getting in trouble for it and you always got to pay fines to get arrested, you would think just let it go and leave it alone. But he must have it really bad.
Well, when the cops went up to him, Coleman, he admitted to watching women in the parking lot. But
yeah, okay.
But he denied the accusations that he fondled himself in his truck. He told police that, quote, "watching women is the only thing I have left," unquote. Because he says he has a heart condition, and he's got other problems in his life.
But here's the thing.
Well, now he's got one more problem.
Who watches women and plays air drum at the same time? You know, he should have stuck with one of the excuses. He should have either said, "No, I'm not watching these women. I'm jamming the tunes," or "I'm watching the women." But don't say I was watching women and playing air drums. That doesn't correlate. That doesn't go together. Nobody watches women and plays air guitar and air drums at the same time. That was the flaw in his excuse.
You know, if I was the cop and he said, "No, I wasn't pleasuring myself. I was playing air drums," I'd say, show me the drum fill you just played. What is it? The drum fill from the Phil Collins song, yeah, "In the Air Tonight"? Show me which drum roll you just did. What are we talking, paradiddles? What are we talking about over here? Well, anyways, I've got the man's mugshot in the story on our website at bayou957.com if you want to check it out. But the man who was arrested for pleasuring himself in the LSU parking lot, and when he got caught, he claimed he was playing air drums.
He was beating something.
This is the dumbest thing that I read all morning.
Dum, 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 dum.
Check out the mugshot and the story on our website, Bayou957.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.